Well, good morning. I think in the light of those two readings, we need to start with prayer. God, our Father, we come before you as we look together at your word. We ask that we will not hear what our itching ears long to hear, but that we will hear you speak to us, that the message we receive is the word that you would have us hear. Speak to us this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning, as you will have seen from your pew sheets, it is Bible Sunday. And it seems rather fitting that in our sermon and study series on discipleship, that as today we're looking at learning, that we do that on Bible Sunday. Because as Paul said in his letter to Timothy, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness. It seems that Paul is quite convinced that this book has a lot to say to us about how we learn. So how do we learn? I've spent some time this week looking up how human beings learn. And I'm aware there are a number of you here who are from the teaching profession, so I hope that the information I've got is right. But the general consensus from all the study that I did seem to be that when it comes down to it, there are three main ways in which we learn. By observing and copying what we see or what others do, by studying what we think of as book learning, and by making sense of what we see around us and what happens in our lives. However, because I'm preaching, and because I have it on good authority that all really good preachers come out with three things, all beginning with the same letter, I figured it's about time I did that. So we're going to look at learning under three different names. We could say that we learn by example, examination, and experience. So let's look at the first of those, example. This is probably the most natural and automatic way that we learn. We only have to look at the way that a baby learns when with a parent. We know if, for instance, you're feeding a child, teaching a child to eat. Generally, a mother or a father or whoever is feeding the baby will open their own mouth as they offer the spoon, and the baby copies. In the same way, when we speak, we chatter away to our babies, and we're so delighted when they repeat what we've said to them. It's the way that they learn, and most learning in babies and small children comes from that copying what they see. As adults, we actually do the same very much more often than we might be aware of. We too learn by copying. If you think of an example, learning to dance. Imagine trying to learn a new dance purely from something written down in a textbook. How difficult would it be to make sense of what to do, to understand the connection between the music and our movements, the movements of our partner? How much easier to watch people doing it and to learn by following what they do. The second way we learn is by examination, by studying what others teach us, and often also testing it out to see if it works. This is what we may think of when we first think of the term learning, the kind of learning that we do at school, at university, the things we learn from textbooks, the things we look up on the internet. I know my grasp of IT is fairly basic. But I also know that if anything goes wrong on my computer, I can ask an expert or look it up online so that I can learn from other people's experience and expertise, put right what it is that's gone wrong, And then the next time it happens, I will know what to do myself because I have learned. And the third way we learn is what's called associative learning. This is experience, by making sense of what we see, of what happens in the world around us. For example, as children, we learn very quickly that lightning is followed by thunder. We make the connection because lightning and thunder almost always happen together or very soon after one another. And so because of our experience, because of what we've learned, when we see a flash of lightning, we wait for the sound of the thunder that follows. Example, examination, experience. The three primary ways in which we learn in life. So when it comes to our faith and our spirituality, why should we expect it to be any different? Paul knew this, and this is why when he writes to Timothy, who we know is young, relatively inexperienced, and probably fairly insecure and lacking in confidence, we see that Paul encourages him, saying, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it." At the very beginning of this letter from Paul to Timothy, Paul specifically named Timothy's grandmother, Lois, and his mother, Eunice. And he credited them for teaching Timothy the Hebrew scriptures and helping him come to know himself as a child of God. He now tells Timothy that he can trust what he's learned because of the integrity and strong faith of those he's learned it from. Surely this is what we long for our children today, that from the earliest childhood, they too would know that they are children of God. We can seek to be that kind of example to them. And if you think back over your own life, you may well be aware of people who have been examples to you in your spiritual journey. People that you've looked at and thought, I want to be more like them, or I want to have a bit of what they've got. Timothy was clearly lucky enough to have those kind of role models in his life. But then Paul goes on, reminding Timothy how from infancy he's known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make him wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. He reminds him of the importance of Scripture. See, Christianity is essentially a revealed religion. It's not some sort of belief system thought up by people trying to make sense of the world around them. It's not some abstract human philosophy or ethic. It's a faith revealed by God himself. We cannot truly know God unless God shows himself to us. And of course, God has done just that. He revealed himself to us in a person, in Jesus Christ. He is God's ultimate revelation, God's clear message to the world. But of course, we weren't alive when Jesus was walking on the earth. So the main way we can know him and know about him is through what is written in the Bible. The amazing thing about this book is that God didn't just speak to people through it in the past, but that he still speaks to us through it now. That through the words of this book, he shows us and tells us how much he loves us. The purpose of reading the Bible is to bring us into relationship with God and enable us to hear his voice. David Suchet, the actor who plays Poirot, tells how on a tour in America, he had a sudden and impulsive desire to read the Bible. He managed to find a Gideon's Bible in his hotel room, and he started to read the New Testament. As he read, he put his faith in Jesus Christ. He said, "I started with the Acts of the Apostles, and then moved to Paul's letters, Romans and Corinthians. It was only after that I came to the Gospels. In the New Testament, I suddenly discovered the way that life should be followed." For David Suchet, the words of Scripture revealed a deep truth. made sense to him. It rang true. And many of you will remember a couple of weeks ago when Susie preached and she showed us the Korean Bible that she'd brought with her. She reminded us of how very precious and powerful the words in this book are. So we can learn of God from other people who have faith. We can learn much about what it is to live a Christian life from them and seek to be more like them. We can learn about God through what's written in the Bible as he reveals himself to us in Scripture. But if we are to be true disciples, if we are to allow God to move and work in our lives and in the world around us, if we're truly to know him, there has to be more. We have to experience God, experience a relationship with God for ourselves. Because another person's faith, no matter how strong, cannot be our faith. We can learn from them, and we should, but we cannot be them. A knowledge of Scripture, no matter how deep, cannot be enough. God's desire is not that we should academically study the Bible from end to end so that we know it from cover to cover and we know all about him, but that through reading it, we come to know him for ourselves. The main point of the Bible is that it gives us a starting point and a way to develop our relationship with God. We need to experience the power and the love of God through Jesus Christ for ourselves. And this is where the second reading today, the reading from John's Gospel, comes in. Because what's going on in this reading is that Jesus is talking about the evidence that shows who he is, from John the Baptist's testimony through to the work that he himself has been doing, which shows who he is, and even to the testimony of God the Father. And yet, he is surrounded by people who just do not get it. They don't see it. They don't know the God that they profess to believe in. They haven't truly seen him or heard him. His word finds no place in them. As Jesus says, you study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. Yet these are the very scriptures that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life. All the evidence of Christ around us, the example and witness of other Christians, the words and testimony in this book, all these things should lead us to seek him out, to seek out Christ in our lives. As he says in verse 40, come to me to have life. Example, examination, experience. We need all three. It isn't enough to come to church. It isn't enough to do good works. It isn't enough to know what it says in the Bible. These are all really good things and really important things. But unless they lead us to Christ, they're ultimately nothing. That's what our discipleship series is all about. That is why we're spending so many weeks looking at what it means to be a disciple. Our lives, our words, our prayers, our actions, everything we do and everything that we are should bring us closer to Christ so that we begin to know him better. We see him working in our lives. We see him working in the world around us. And so that we can let him guide us, teach us, and change us. Many of you will know that back in Jesus' time, one of the wise sayings or blessings of the Jewish tradition is quoted like this: may you be covered in the dust of your rabbi. Rabbis were passionate and animated. They would spend their days taking their disciples around, teaching them, and as they traveled from place to place in that hot country, they would literally kick up a cloud of dust as they walked. And because their disciples were following closely behind them, so closely that they didn't miss anything that their rabbi said or did, by the end of the day, they themselves would be covered in the dust that the rabbi had kicked up as he walked. As disciples, that's how close we should be trying to get to Christ. In our day-to-day living, seeking him out, looking first to him, spending time in prayer, following him so closely that he influences what we do, what we say, who we meet, what decisions we make. Have a think about the coming week and what it is that you've got planned this week. What would it look like if you spent this week covered in the dust of Christ? So Paul's message speaks to us today. Remain in the things you have learned and been assured of. Anchor your faith in the words of Jesus. Listen to him. And Christ's words speak to us today. Come to me to have life. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, as we bring ourselves before you in this place, we ask that you would teach us, guide us, prompt us to come ever closer to you in all that we do. May our lives be lives of discipleship as we seek you out. And as we come to you, Lord, give us that life in all its abundance that is your wonderful and glorious promise for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.